We begin, last time I spoke to you on Sunday night, with a series on the parables of Jesus. There are a great number of parables in the Bible. Basically, the number is determined by the definition that you give to a parable. But there are a great number of parables that Jesus used in teaching his word. In John chapter 3, excuse me, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." So when people heard Jesus or heard about Jesus, they knew that he was a great teacher. And they not only knew that, but they knew that he was representing God, that he was from God. And at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, as we've mentioned a number of times in our Sunday morning class, at the end of the three chapters of Matthew, and at the end of Jesus' sermon on that occasion, the people there were astonished at his doctrine. And the reason they were astonished is because he spoke with authority. He talked as one having authority, and not as their teachers, not as their scribes. So here was one who was somewhat unique, who was somewhat different, or quite a bit different, really. He was from God. That made him very unique. He spoke truth. That made him unique. He spoke with authority. He spoke with simplicity. Like I mentioned at one of the series of lessons we've had, that if we look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, we see that it's not very long. It's not very complicated to read. There are not many syllables in the words. There are no $20 words in there, $100 words. They're short, they're simple, they're to the point. And Jesus would have us to pray in that manner. He used a variety of techniques in teaching people. In fact, there were like 10 or 15 that I had listed before when I've done a study on it. But we know the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon or a lecture. That's one type of lesson that he had, one way he taught. Another way he taught was answering questions by asking another question. And he did this quite often when he knew that the person asking the question was really trying to trip him up, was trying to put him on the spot. And so Jesus would in turn ask a question and cause the individual who was speaking to him to really think about the subject matter. One of the favorite messages he had, though, was the use of the parable. Matthew 13, verse 3. Writer Matthew says concerning Jesus, "He spake many things unto them in parables." Down in the 13th verse of that same chapter, Matthew 13. "Therefore speak I unto them in parables." In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 13 of Matthew, because we'll be spending much of our time looking at that chapter. A great number of parables in that chapter, not just the parable of the sower. The last time we met, we talked about what a parable is, and I had a couple of definitions that come to mind. The one that I remember for the most, provided I can remember it tonight, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We all like stories. And basically, most of Jesus' parables were stories. A story that was told about things that people were familiar with to take them to the unfamiliar, the spiritual story, the heavenly meaning. The technical definition, though, if you were looking into a Bible dictionary, would be throwing alongside of. One thing is placed beside another for the purpose of comparison. So Jesus would make a statement in a story or give part of a story, and he was really, it's following along a certain pattern, and he's really telling that story, and it really is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly, it has a spiritual meaning. Let's turn to chapter 13 of Matthew then. Let's look at that chapter. I want to read, first of all, verses 1 through 9. As Jesus speaks the parables to to those who are present, great multitudes of people who have gathered, and also his disciples. And then down in verse 18 through 33, Jesus explains the parable. Now, this doesn't happen very often in the scriptures, especially regarding to the parables. Not very often does Jesus come back and say, "Now let me explain that." But on this occasion, where he was speaking to the disciples and his multitudes of people, a great number of parables, he explained this particular parable. So we don't have to guess, we don't have to guesstimate at what the meaning of the parable is. Now, some parallel passages are found in Mark and in Luke, and we'll be looking at some of those verses, but we'll not be reading all of them. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So we have a setting for the parable. Jesus is out among the people, and evidently the crowd is so big that he wants to get him a stage-like, and he gets on a ship, kind of away from the people. And then the people are on the shore, and he's able to speak to them without them maybe clamoring for him to perform a miracle or some other thing. So he's going to be able to talk to them because he is away from them, but they're able to hear. They're standing on shore. And it says he spake many things unto them in parables. And he does here in this 13th chapter. This was one of them. He said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell by stony places, where they had much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns." So this is the third type. The wayside soil, the rocky soil, the stony soil, then this is the thorny soil, you might say, and then the good ground. "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Verse 8. "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's look down to verse 18. The disciples had asked him some questions about why he spoke in parables, and Jesus responded to them. We looked at that last time we met. But here in verse 18 he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." In other words, let me explain it to you. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," so this is a parable about people's hearing, people's listening to the word. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Number two. "But he received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hearkened," that heareth the word rather, "and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And the third type of soil. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." And then the number four, the fourth type of soil. "He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So as we look at this parable again, going back to the very first verses, Jesus is speaking not only to his disciples, but he's speaking to a group of people who are not disciples or followers at this time. He's on a boat. They're on the beach. In Mark's account, in verse 3, the first word in his account is hearken. Hearken, or hear ye. So he calls their attention, or for them to pay attention to the words Jesus does, the words that he's speaking. And also in Mark chapter 4 and verse 9, at the close of the of this particular parable, it ends with, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," which is somewhat the same as verse 9 in Matthew chapter 13. So the parable has to do with hearing. Has to do with hearing. In fact, I put down the main theme or the main lesson is the responsibility of hearing. Because Jesus, in the explanation of these four different kinds of souls, talks about how these people listened to what they heard, to the Word. How they responded to the Word. How the Word affected them. Whether it stayed with them or whether it was easy come, easy go. In one ear and out the other is what we would say sometimes. Now, as far as Jesus talking about a sower, he's not talking about something they would not be familiar with. This is a familiar scene. Not only in Palestine, but even down to this day. Most any place that you would go and talk about somebody going out into the field and sowing seed, practically everyone would know what you were talking about because it's a familiar scene. The scene is really timeless. And so Jesus says a certain sower goes out to sow, and automatically their mind thinks of a field scene or a scene. Maybe there's a scene that they've just gone by on their way to where Jesus is. Now, as far as looking at the parable and the essential elements or what we find within the parable, there's a seed. There's a sower, and there's a sower who's out actually sowing the seed. There are different kinds of soil. And they're different results. So these are some things for us to think about as we look at these parables. Now the meaning and application, as I mentioned, especially in Matthew and really in the other accounts, is given by Jesus himself. In the other parables, we have to look for a central thought. Usually there's one central thought in a parable. Now in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, we find out exactly what the seed is. We don't have to guess in chapter 13, the first 9 verses. I don't believe it says what the seed is. But look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Sometimes it's good to, even though it may take a little bit longer to read the different counts in the Bible of the same parable, the same story. I mentioned this morning in our Bible class a book called A Harmony of the Gospels. That can be purchased at 21st Century Gospel Advocate, these publishing companies. It's an excellent Bible study aid. Because when you're looking, say, at one parable or looking at a group of verses that Jesus said something about in a particular event, it indicates where that event appears in the other accounts if it does. So that's an excellent book. If someone wants to see what one looks like, I have a couple of them at home that I can bring. So the seed is the Word of God. Now, I think we learned, too, that the seed produces the kingdom of God. When Peter preaches that great sermon in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching the Word. He's preaching God's Word. And that Word brings forth people to God's kingdom. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. At the completion of Peter's sermon, as he talks to these Jews who had been there on the passage during the Passover, and they had been among those who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," Peter wanted them to know that the one that they had crucified, God had raised from the dead, and that he now had been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Verse 37 says, "When they heard these things from Jesus, from Peter, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" This is after hearing the word. "Peter said unto them, 'Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourself from this untoward generation.'" He didn't use magic. He didn't use any other motivating factors. He didn't give away. He didn't have a lottery. He didn't give a prize. He taught the Word, the seed that Jesus is talking about in this parable. He taught the Word. In verse 41, we get their response. Then they that gladly received His Word. His Word. There's power in God's Word, not in my words. If I preach God's Word, there's power in that kind of preaching. But if I fail to preach the Word of God, then I'm failing to preach that which needs to be taught and that which can bring about salvation of souls. They that gladly received His Word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the seed produces the kingdom of God. Look down in verse 47. These people were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These individuals heard the word. They received it. They obeyed the word. And because of that, they were added to the church by the Lord. So the seed produces the kingdom of God. We mentioned in our lessons on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is telling the people, the multitudes, and His disciples who will be in His kingdom. What are the characteristics of those who will be in His kingdom? And now He's talking to them about what is it really that's going to teach them, that's going to cause one to want to be in the kingdom. Some of the conditions that are set forth. So we'll look back. We mentioned that there's power in God's Word. We can see this in Romans 1:16, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power, the dynamite, the dunamos. The word dynamo comes from the same Greek word. There's power. It's the power of God unto salvation. Where is salvation? The power of God into salvation is the Word. The Word saves. James calls it the engrafted Word in James chapter 1. In Romans 10 verse 17, the Word produces faith. Do we find folks that have very little faith? Maybe there's very little of the Word going into their mind and into their thinking. And we need to weigh that heavily. Because if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, if I want to develop more faith, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to get better acquainted with God's Word. Folks don't want to do that today because there's work in that. We'd rather the preacher or some teacher, this is all in all religious groups, tell us what we believe. You need to read that article or that booklet that Brother Johnny Waddy wrote back there. I read part of it. And some of his words are a little big because he understands what's going on around in the world of religion. But he has some excellent articles over the years. I've followed things that he said and some other writers, and he's among, in my estimation, among the best in looking at what's happening in the brotherhood among churches of Christ. In Psalm 119:105, David looked at the Word and he said, "The Word guides me. It's a lamp. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. The Word of God is powerful." The Hebrew writer says it's quicker, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So when we talk to people about Christ, we need to get them into the Word. Let's not tell them what I think, what I believe. Let's get them right into the Bible. Have their Bible open, our Bible open, and let's study the Word of God together. As we can look further at this parable of the sower. The sower really is anyone who teaches the Word. We look in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark 4, verse 14. Jesus says there, the sower soweth the Word. So there's not any, it doesn't say the preacher soweth the Word, or the elders soweth the Word, or the deacon soweth the Word. It's a sower. Anyone who sows the Word, anyone who teaches the Word is the sower that he's talking about. And Jesus came to reveal truth, and that's what's in the Word. In John 1 verse 17, when Jesus was being introduced by John, the apostle John in his letter, he says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6. As Jesus is talking to and answering a question that Thomas has asked, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And yet the parable's emphasis is not on the seed or the sower. It's on the soils. And a lot of times preachers such as me will spend a lot of time on the one doing the sowing if we're not careful. And we don't spend the time on the soil. That's me as a learner, as a student of God's Word. That's you as a student of God's Word. I've heard folks say, you know, I went away from that class and I really didn't learn anything. And guess who the blame is placed on? The teacher. You know, a teacher can come to class and not be prepared, and you still can learn. We still can learn a lot from God's Word if we're opening God's Word and studying ourselves. A lot of times, and I notice some of you do too, when I'm visiting somewhere and I'm sitting in the auditorium and the preacher's preaching or someone is teaching, I'm taking notes. I figure if the sermon's good enough for him, it's good enough for me somewhere down the line. Or it's the points that are made. And I find that's the best way I can do to pay attention. My mind wanders just like yours does. Well, I mean, we're used to watching TV and there's a real quick commercial on about every 5 minutes. And they can't keep our attention very long. I mean, we accuse kids of having attention deficit disorder, but we do too sometimes. You know, you wonder in a sermon, do I need to stop here for a commercial? And you know, not a commercial outside the Bible, but something else from somewhere else in the Bible. You know, then we'll get back to the lesson. And now a word from John. And now back to our story of the parable of the sower. That's what we're used to hearing, see, those type things. And so our minds stray. Even when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper sometimes, our minds can stray. You know, a lot of times when the one leads the prayer there, they ask, you know, that we would focus on what is going on at that moment, what we're doing. And it's difficult at times. Okay, the soils represent different hearers. Different hearers and their response to the truth. So let's look at these four types of soil. First, Jesus says there's a wayside soil. If you've ever been out on farmland, you know what that wayside soil is. Back in Palestine, they did not have fences, I'm told. And so at the borders of the fields would be an area where they would walk. And of course, people walking from one place to another would sometimes walk through people's fields, but they would have a border around them or a place around them where people could walk. And guess what happens to that soil? It gets hardened. And even though the soil is fertile, it's not good soil. It doesn't present itself properly to raising a crop. So Jesus speaks of the wayside soil. And he explains it. He said his seed is sown by the wayside. By the wayside. It's hard packed pathways. And there are two problems here. According to Luke 8 verse 5, the seed was trodden down by somebody walking. If you just seed your lawn, you don't want somebody walking and making a path through your yard right over that area you just seeded, you know, or overseeded. Because it'll cause a seed not to come up, not to grow. And also, Luke points out something that that Matthew didn't. He says the fowls of the air devoured the seed. Jesus explains it in Luke 8 and verse 12. He said these are people who hear but don't understand. They don't understand. Satan removes the seed right away. It's individuals who are probably not seeking to really understand. Illustrated in life, this represents the heart of heart. Some people are prejudiced, aren't they? Have you heard of people being prejudiced against churches of Christ or against an individual who's a member of the Church of Christ? And they're really not, for the most part, unless you can really get close to them, they're really not going to pay attention to what you say. That's difficult to take, but there are those. Some love sin so much that they don't want to hear you talk about the Bible or hear me talk about the Bible. Some procrastinate so much they just don't want to think about it. Push it to the back roads of their memory, back roads of their mind. Second, Jesus speaks of the rocky soil. We can think about rocky soil. I live in rocky soil, USA, Wilson County. They used to say that in Wilson County and other counties like it, you'd wait for snow to come in the winter before you'd try to sell your farm because people couldn't see the rocks. So anyway, there are a lot of rocks that are really close underneath the dirt. So if you're in rocky soil, you're in soil that's very thin as far as the how much soil is over the rock or over a ledge or something like that. The roots don't develop. They're not very deep. The sun that comes down is supposed to make things grow. Does what to it? Burns it up. The sun bears down, hits that rock below. Roots can't go down, and the sun burns up those plants. So that's the second type of soil, and it's represented by individuals who hear the word, they receive it, but they don't develop as a Christian. You've seen individuals like that. Someone who is we call them a young convert, but we fail to teach them beyond the first principles, or they fail to study beyond the first principles, and then we wonder, where are they? And they are easy come, easy go. They hear, they believe, they obey initially, but it doesn't take with them. It doesn't last with them. We see this, and one stops believing. And someone has said that trials can strengthen your faith or they can destroy your faith. And that's what happens sometimes with individuals who are new Christians. Their faith can be destroyed by a trial, and a problem comes along. So those of us who have been Christians longer need to be very careful realize that that is what has happened. When we become a Christian, we're taught to count the cost when we begin. You know, if we begin something, then we need to be sure that we're going to try to finish it. We're going to put the time and the effort in. And we need to go on to maturity. The third type of soil Jesus speaks of is thorny soil. It mentions it in Matthew 22. This soil, even though it's thorny, it takes fertile soil to grow thorns, thorn bushes. But it's choked with weeds. So one fellow mentioned that here's a soil that can produce grain, or it can produce weeds, but not both. Produce grain or produce the thorns, but not both. So, and most of the time when I've seen weeds come up in cornfield or other type field like that, if you let those weeds get up, pretty soon your crop is weeds instead of the corn that's planted. Jesus identified these thorns, and he called them, look in verse 22. He says, he also that receives seed among the thorns, this is chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 22, is he that heareth the word, so here's an individual who hears the word, but then, and understands, but then the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches. So this is an individual who's been a Christian for a period of time, but allows the worldly things to come back. Allows the pleasures, the riches out there, to come and take the place of that which he's learned and studied about Christ. So we need to take care. We need to put first things first. Matthew 6:23. Seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Also in Matthew 6:24 says we cannot serve God and mammon. So we have to make a choice. Pleasures of life, an example of that would be Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 and following, we remember that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than do what? enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he chose God over pleasure. He chose serving God and even suffering over pleasure. Four types of seed, Jesus tells us, is the good soil. Matthew 13:23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So here's an individual who hears the word, he understands, he listens well, he receives the word in an honest and good heart, according to Luke 8:15. And he keeps it, Luke 8:15 says. He keeps it, and he acts upon it. He bears fruit, Jesus said. Now, the idea of bearing 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30, I take it that to be the abilities of that hearer. Somewhat similar to the parable of the talents. We don't all have the same abilities. So someone who hears the word, listens to it, pays attention to it, follows it, but they have differing abilities. But they use the ability that they have. And so there's some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, in contrast to this good soil bearing fruit, we have the wayside soil, and the seed doesn't even germinate, so it doesn't even get started. The rocky soil, it grows in spurts, but then it withers. The thorny soil is the individual who hears the word and allows things of the world to choke out, the cares of the world to choke out that which should be put first. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, admonished them this way. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable." The good soil worked with patience, one of the writers said, Luke in chapter 8:15. In the book of Revelation to the church at Smyrna, Jesus told John to write this. He said, "Tell them to be faithful unto death, and I will give them a crown of life." So these four types of soil Jesus tells about in these accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the parable of the sower. And he talks about the responsibility of hearing. What does it tell us? Well, we need to take heed what we hear, the message, that we hear the message of God. We need to take heed how we hear, that is our response to that message. If we study God's Word, I shouldn't go away saying, you know, that parable, Jesus was smart in coming up with that parable. I should come away with saying, what should Jim do now that he's read that parable and understands it? How should I respond to it? What does God require of me? Rather than say, well, now I've learned something else about God's Word. How we receive God's Word will determine our eternal destiny. Is that a proper statement? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Every person is represented here in this parable by one of the four types of soil. Every person. Jesus didn't say that there's a fifth type of soil. Every one of us is represented by one of those types. Now, the Department of Agriculture, maybe with the state of Tennessee or the federal government, can come out and test your soil. I think they can come out and test your yard and see what type of fertilizer you need or whatever. But what if there was a department that could come out and test the soil of your heart and give God an analysis of that soil? What type of analysis would he give, would we get, and how would it read to God? If someone could make an analysis of the soil of our heart. That's an interesting question there. Interesting question. And God can do such an analysis. God knows us. Appreciate your attention tonight. If there's one here not a Christian, I invite you to come to Jesus. If you've studied on your own about Christ, you've studied with someone else, you've convinced and convicted in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that before this group, realizing you need to repent of the sins that you've committed and be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, why not do that tonight if you as a Christian need our prayers on your behalf? Why not come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?
Who at thy door is standing, patiently drawing.